take your Bibles, please, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Isaiah, chapter 9, we'll read verses 6 and 7 together. Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. I'll read verse 6 aloud. You'll follow on verse 7 aloud with me. Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this season of the year, Father, where we are reminded that Jesus came to this earth, not to be man, but to put on a body that could die for us. He was always the man part of the Godhead. Thank you for that, so that he could relate to us so well and we to him. And Father, please come down on our preacher with your power in a very special and unique way. Father, teach us today what we need to hear from heaven. Use our preacher. May we listen carefully, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I'm a little bit worried about you this morning. I'm afraid that you've about eaten yourself into a coma over Thanksgiving. I look out and some of you look a little bit drowsy. I used to have a coach when I was playing basketball in high school. And my coach, if we hit the floor and we were moving a little slow, he'd just at the top of his lungs for about 5 minutes yell, "Look alive! Look alive! Look alive!" Do me a favor. Turn to the person beside you and say, "Look alive! Look alive!" Yeah, you got it. You got it. Now, if your wife slaps you, it's your fault, sir. Well, thank you for being here this morning. I'm not trying to be unkind, but I'm hearing some disturbance over here. We're not used to that, and so let's make sure it's cared for. And if you have children and they don't know exactly what to do in church, you can step out with them. But we make sure we keep things under control around here. So thank you for being here this morning. If you came to church this morning expecting some deep theological exegesis of the Scripture, you're not going to get it. And so I'm going to be far more practical than normal today. If you came and you heard that I swing from the chandeliers and I yell and scream and run all over the place, I'm not going to do that this morning. And so I want to talk to you today about something extremely practical, and I'm doing it the first Sunday of December, because I sure want to tell you some things that are important. I'm going to give you some advice in regard to Christmas today and advice in regard to this time of the year. And so I say to all of our folks, I'm going to say some things that are very, very practical, everyday, down to earth. I don't even know if we'll consider it preaching by the time we leave here today. But I promise you this, if you came to hear some wild, thundering preaching, if you'll come back, we'll probably get to it in the next week or two. But this morning, I want to give you some advice for Christmas. This morning, Brother Bush led us in reading Isaiah chapter 9, the very first part of verse number 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Now, what's that talking about? Well, that is the prediction of the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. And oh my, what a stir the coming of that child has created through the centuries. Just amazing. He was predicted in the Old Testament. He arrived in the New Testament. And now we look back knowing that he came and he left his mark on society and he left his mark on eternity. And we celebrate it with this thing that we call Christmas. Now, I love Christmas. Christmas. I love Christmas time. I love this time of the year. I hate the commercialization of Christmas. But I'm not going to let the commercialization of Christmas steal from me Christmas. I'm going to go ahead and enjoy it. I love Christmas cards. I love Christmas carols. I love to hear carolers singing "Joy to the World, for the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King." I love it. I love hearing children sing, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above the deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by." I love to hear the Christmas carols. I love to hear a group, or I love to hear a congregation of people singing, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright." And don't forget it, "Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace." I love the song, "Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus lays down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay." I love to hear that song. I love those words. Even when I see it says here, "Asleep on the hay," a couple of you are already dozing off to remind me of Jesus sleeping in the hay. Thank you for that reminder. I love snowmen. I really do. Now, Mrs. Owen, she's the real snowman lover. I have, in her honor, I have my snowman tie on today. Someone seen me this morning and said, "Brother Owen, there's snow on your tie. We don't want any of that." I said, "Well, maybe if I wear it on my tie, we won't have to get any of it on the ground." And then that person said, "Well, keep the tie on then." And so Mrs. Owens collects snowmen. And around our house, when she decorates for Christmas, there are snowmen everywhere. I love manger scenes. And I'll tell you, I want to recommend that everybody that can put your manger scene out in your front yard. You say, why? Because the ACLU would like to make it illegal for even an American citizen to put a manger scene in their front yard. I've got news for them. If they make it illegal, I'm putting one out the next day. And so I love manger scenes. I love for people in society to be reminded of the birth of the Christ child. I love our Christmas cantata, and that'll be here in just a few weeks, and we'll have a special night, especially for extra singing about the coming of the Christ child. I love to talk about the angels and Jesus and peace on earth and goodwill toward man. Now this morning, again, I am not going to give you a very deep Bible study. We've read the scripture that I'm going to read to you today. I'm going to be very, very, very practical, and I want to talk to you about some things that I would advise you're careful of at this time of the year. If you've been here in our church for any Christmas that we have celebrated together since I became your pastor, you've heard some of, or maybe all of, what I'm going to say. I'm not afraid to be repetitive, not at all, because I feel like whatever it was we needed to be careful of to celebrate Christmas properly last year, then we'll have to be careful of it again this year. And the way to learn to do right is through repetition. I believe that repetition is the key to learning. And so we'll learn some things and hear and see some things that are not new to us, but for some, this will be the first time they've ever heard me give this type of advice. A lot of times I would do it on a Sunday night or on a Wednesday night, but I just felt like, well, we've had a lot of new people join our church in recent months, and I would just like everybody to take a little advice about how we ought to celebrate Christmas, and I'm just going to call this some Christmas advice. First of all, I'd like to recommend something to you about Christmas. I'd like to recommend that you not overspend. Don't overspend your money. Now listen to me. You heard me say earlier, we have so commercialized Christmas that we've turned it into, it's all about making money, spending money, and listen, folks, that's really not what Christmas is all about. Hey, look, and again, I want to be very practical. Why don't you just be honest with yourself about your Christmas spending? This is going to sound a little juvenile, but maybe it'd be a good idea for you to make a list of the people you're going to give Christmas gifts to. Then you determine how much money you can afford to spend on them. You designate that amount of money to those people on that list, and then you stick to the list, and you don't spend more than that. And then when January hits, you won't be frantic about receiving the credit card bill that will arrive sooner or later. Obey your list. Now listen, that's not real bad advice. For some of you, if you would just listen to what I just said, you would not have a panic-stricken January because you misspent your money in December. Don't let your credit cards get away from you. Do not spend what you do not have. I know that's a foreign concept to American people. Do not spend what you do not have. Figure out a way to give some things without going into deep debt. I have to read this to you. A man in West Virginia calls his son in California the day before Christmas and says, "I hate to ruin your day, son, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough." "Pop, what are you talking about?" the son screams. "We can't stand the sight of each other any longer," the father says. "We're sick of each other, and I'm sick of talking about this, so you call your sister in Chicago and you just tell her." Frantic, the son calls his sister and explodes on the phone. She says, "No way they're getting a divorce," she shouts. "I'll take care of this." She calls West Virginia immediately and screams at her father, "You're not getting a divorce. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back, and we'll be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing, Dad. Do you hear me?" And she hangs up. The old man hangs up the phone and turns to his wife, says, "Okay, honey, it worked. They're coming for Christmas, and this year they're paying their own way." You got to figure out how to get it done without it costing you any money. I actually sat down the other day, and though I know I'll be criticized for not being deep and all, but between now and Christmas, I'm going to preach a sermon on how to have a great Christmas without spending a lot of money. I'm scared to death for America. I'm scared to death for our young families. We're crazy. We're borrowing and borrowing and borrowing ourselves into deep debt. We're depressed about it. We don't have any time together as a family because we're so busy paying off all of our debts because we're just spending money like crazy. And I fear for us. Folks, let's use some good common sense about our spending at this Christmas time. Point number two. Be faithful to church at Christmas time. Last year, Christmas fell on a Sunday. Would you believe churches all over the place closed their doors in honor of Christmas? In honor. That was a slap in the face of God. Someone closes church down to honor the birth of the Christ child. They should have had more services, not less. Now, this year, Christmas falls on Christmas Eve. You ought to all decide right now. I'll be in church. We give this extra time of the year to celebrate the birth of the Christ child. And so, churches shouldn't be shutting down. They ought to be going up, not down. Hey, listen, don't you give Jesus the gift of your faithfulness, but don't miss more church at this time. Be in church more at this time. So, I said number one, be careful with your finances at this time of the year. I say number two, be faithful to church at this time of the year. Number three, promote Jesus. Try not to overly promote the fat guy in the red suit. Did you know that Christmas is really all about Jesus? Do you know that there will be people that will sit on the edge of their seat and fear what I might say about the fat guy in the red suit because they're almost offended that anybody would dare touch the sacred, holy cow? Christmas is really all about Jesus. We give the old fat man in his red jammies way too much attention. We almost make him out to be God. Did you know something? If he can be everywhere in one night, that makes him have the ability of omnipresence, and only God could do that. Did you know that if he knows whether you're sleeping or awake and whether you've been bad or good, that makes him omniscient, that means all-knowing? Last I heard, it was only God that was all-knowing. We make him out to have a supernatural power. That is a quality called omnipotence. That means all-powerful. Last I heard, only God is all powerful. Only God could be everywhere at one time. Only God knows everything. Let's be careful that he doesn't get credit that he does not deserve. An independent researcher said Santa has 31 hours of Christmas to work with. Thanks to the different time zones and the rotation of the Earth, assuming he travels from east to west, which seems logical, this works out to be 822.6 visits per second. This is to say that for every Christian household with good children, Santa has 1/1000th of a second to do the following. Park, hop out of the sleigh, jump down the chimney, fill the stockings, distribute the remaining presents under the tree, eat whatever snacks have been left behind, get back up the chimney, get back in the sleigh, and move on to his next house. Santa's abilities seem a bit godlike. Wow. All I'm saying to you is, let's be very, very careful that the old fat man in the red jammies doesn't get more attention than Jesus, and he indeed is the reason for the season. Let me tell you about something, and number next, we, if you get a chance when you exit the building today, I wish you'd try to go through these center doors here and you take a look at a Christmas tree that we've set up. There's something that we're going to do, and I'm going to ask for your help with it. I would like to do this. This next summer, I would like to start a summer baseball ministry and league for the young people right here in our own church. I would like to have 3 levels of competition. I'd like to have a T-ball league and a little league and then a youth or a teenage league. And I'm talking about I want it to be done first class. I want to have a nice field. I want to have uniforms. I just want it to be first class. I don't want it to be second rate compared to the world. I wondered if maybe at this Christmas time, as instead of taking a big Christmas offering of some sort for our church, everything that we'll do as far as Christmas for the church, maybe we could support and build and raise some things for a baseball league. I think this is a time. I think sports are very important in a young person's life. I think it's great for character training. I'm not trying to train boys to go to the professional leagues. I'm not trying to help them get scholarships to heathen universities. Not at all. I'm trying to teach them to have character, learn teamwork, work together, learn to obey a coach, and to succeed. Now, this boys' league, if we can do it, we'll start it next summer. Out here in the hallway, and I'm not going to take real long to describe it, but it is a part of the outline in my sermon. Here's what we have. We have a tree out here, and you'll see it. It is decorated in baseballs. Now, some of the ornaments on there are pictures of baseballs, and printed on that baseball is an item that we will need for our baseball league of next summer. We're asking people that will, and we're talking about mature adults and mature teenagers, and the children, I don't want them taking things off of that tree, but if you go out there and you say, Brother Owens, I see some things on those ornaments printed there, I'd be willing to buy those and make them available for the baseball league next summer. We're going to start now at raising the things that we need to start a baseball league. I thought this would be a great thing for us to do together for our church for Christmas. You grab the ornament off if they're on printed paper. Many of them will say on the ornament, see Brother Bush. Brother Bush has been helping me as we pull together the equipment and supplies we'll need. He'll be at a table out here. You pull the ornament off. If it says see Brother Bush, you go over, you see him. He'll tell you exactly what we want, exactly what we're looking for. On some of them, you're going to find printed on the back is a label from a store. It tells how much that item costs. I'm going to tell you more about it, but I thought it would be an excellent way for us to get ready for next summer, hoping that we could start a baseball league. And so I'm kind of calling it a baseball Christmas for the young people of our church. Now, I'm also going to, on December the 24th, on Sunday morning and Sunday night, we're going to take a special offering. This is above our tithe. We're going to take a special offering, trying to raise the money for the equipment and things that we'll need to start this baseball league. It's only going to be for the kids of our church. We're not going to go competing with the kids in the world. It's not going to work that way. It's so that they can have good godly leadership. They don't have to participate with the heathen in the world, but they could have their own baseball league right here at the church where people aren't cussing in the stands but saying amen, glory to God. We'll still have mothers beating up on umpires. I'll let that happen. It's still going to happen. We'll have that, but it will be a lot of fun. Truth is, now don't let this shock you and don't let it worry you, but I would guess we're going to need to raise a total of about $10,000 to do it right. And so we're going to take an offering. I wish you'd pray about it, and I wish some of you would seriously think about getting involved in it. Now, I am not going to stand here and promise you we'll be ready for next summer, because I don't spend what I don't have. But if we have accomplished it and we have enough money to do it right next summer, we'll have our own baseball league. And so I'm talking to you about our celebrating Christmas this year. I said to you, first of all, I want you to be careful with your own personal family that you don't overspend. I said, secondly, be faithful to church. I say, number three, let's promote Jesus, not Santa, as God. Then I said, maybe you could help us to celebrate with the baseball Christmas that we're going to do for our children right here at our own church. Number five, I'd like to recommend that you attend all the church activities that are going on around here at Christmas. We have a lot that goes on at this church. You take, for instance, ladies, earlier we announced to you that we're having our ladies' Christmas fellowship. It's on December the 12th. It starts at 6:30 in the evening. We're going to have a cookie exchange. I think you're supposed to bring two dozen of your favorite cookies that night, and all the ladies bring in cookies, and you eat some snacks, and you exchange some cookies. We find out about the Secret Sister program. There's Christmas singing that goes on. And so, ladies, and you newer ladies in our church, you need to get to this thing. It's a way to meet good, godly Christian friends. I'm saying, though, the way to celebrate this Christmas season is get involved in the activities here at the church. Our Dunamis Club, you heard me mention this earlier, and that's our club for the children while parents are out soul winning on Thursday nights. They're going to the Winter Lights. They're going to go see the Winter Lights at Clearbrook Park, and that's on Thursday, December the 14th at 6:45. Now, there's something for the kids to do. It has to do with Christmas. There'll be Sunday school parties going on, and you ought to attend those. Our Cantata, which will be a fantastic evening. Our cantata will happen right here in this auditorium on Sunday night, December the 24th, and it will be a wonderful, wonderful hour. Plan on being here. Be here. We're going to have our teenagers, and my son Joshua and I have been working on this. We want to do something different and fun with the teenagers for Christmas, and this year we're having a Christmas masquerade party. It's going to be hosted at my house. It's going to be on December the 22nd. Now, so you know, we went through and we picked out what kinds of costumes that the young people may wear. We took out all the filth from Hollywood and all the rock and roll garbage and junk like that. We picked very wholesome costumes that they may wear, but we're going to have a Christmas masquerade party. It'll be hosted at my house on Sunday night, December the 22nd. Parents, hey, look, encourage your kids to get involved. We're trying to give them some good, wholesome, decent things and fun things that they'll enjoy. Hey, a lot of activities going on around the church. You want to know how to celebrate Christmas well and right? I'm telling you right now how we can do it. I was thinking of Brother Gewin's Sunday school class, the Greater Joy class. They're going to have a Christmas party, and that party is for the people from our special needs ministry, the educable, slow, and autistic. And so his Sunday school class is throwing a Christmas party for the special needs people. Those of you in Brother Gewin's class, get involved in that thing. Those of you helping with the special needs ministries, hey, what an opportunity. You get to throw a Christmas party for the people in your class, and it's going to cost you and money. God knows he's got it, so go and be a part of it. Then, Martinsburg Bible class, that's Brother Bajan's Sunday school class. They're doing some things for the widows and the widowers. And so I think it's widows. Brother Bajan, is it the widows and widowers both? And so their class is going to do a bunch of things for the widows and the widowers. And I think that's just fantastic. Brother Bajan's party, and well, what they're doing is taking place on December the 8th. Then the Sweetheart Couples class, Brother Nash's class, they're doing some things, some special things for the church secretaries. And so, look, get involved. Enjoy. Look, you have a church where you can come out of the world and be with God's people and fellowship with God's people. There's not a lack of things to do around here, folks. Not at all. This church staff runs their health in the grave just trying to make this place a place that meets the needs of your children, your teenagers, young married couples, adults, senior citizens. We're going 360 365 days out of the year trying to make that possible so you can celebrate Christmas right here at the church. We're going to have a watch night service, and that means on New Year's Eve, we're going to have a service where we will be here to bring in the new year. This year, Dr. Dennis Coral is going to be with us, and we're going to have a Revival Fires conference that night. Man, don't you worry. He's going to preach. We're going to have some fun. We've got some wonderful, wonderful things planned for that evening, but we're planning for you to have a good holiday season. That's what we want. So, the whole purpose of my sermon to you this morning is this. I would like for you to have a good Christmas season, but there's a way to do it. You say, how do I do that? Don't get carried away with your money. Use some wisdom. Be faithful to church. Promote Jesus, not just Santa. Get involved in our cause with the baseball league. Attend the church activities. Then, number six, I want to recommend to you that you use good Christian Christmas music in your home. Christmas music is a wonderful thing. I just love to hear it. But just so you know, Jingle Bell Rock is not Christian music. And you ought to be listening to the right kind of music in your home at this time of the year. You know, I don't think it is a tribute to the Savior when we're listening to the world's music to celebrate His birthday. Now, I know this. I know on the back table back here, Mrs. Lopez has a stack of piano CDs by a young lady. It's Christy Smith, I think. And we've listened to the music. It's a CD. It's a very good Christmas music. There's some of those back there for sale this morning. Not a lot of them. But you could get some good Christmas music. And I think you ought to sing around the house. And I think you ought to be singing the right kinds of songs. The night of our cantata, which is December 24, isn't that right? The night that we have our Christmas cantata here, every family that is represented that night at our Christmas cantata, we're going to give you a free copy of Brother Nash's tape on Christmas music, if you don't have one of those. So every family that is represented that night, you come to the cantata, you come to the evening service, we're going to give you a free copy of Brother Nash's Christmas music. Brother Nash, look, you don't realize who he is. You don't realize that about 7 years ago, a famous group tried to get him to come and be a part of their group. You've heard of the Chipmunks? They had begged him. The Chipmunks had begged him to come and be their lead singer. Alvin was not well at that time, and they felt like there would be no costume necessary, that he would fit right into the group. But that night, we're going to give you a free tape of Brother Nash's Christmas music if you come that night. But I said to you, number six, make sure that you have good Christmas music in your home. Number seven, invite your family to our Christmas services. You know, you might get a family member to come and visit the church around this time of the year when they wouldn't normally come. Hey, and if your family comes to visit you or stay at your house over the Christmas holiday, don't stay home with them instead of come to church. You'd be making the wrong decision there. You just need to politely say, hey, why don't you come down to the church with us? There's going to be some good music. And invite them to come. But don't stay home. That would be a bad testimony. I've watched people do this. I've watched people that were having family get-togethers say to the family, listen, we're going to have a big meal after church this morning. Why don't we just all go down to the church? We'll reserve a couple of pews. We'll all set together through the church service together. And afterwards, we'll shoot home and we'll have our big celebration. I wish you'd do that. I wish you'd come to church. But whatever you do, let's not come to church less at Christmas time as our way of celebrating the birth of the Christ child. We get awful mixed up about things like that. And so, I said, let's make sure that we invite our families to church around Christmas. Number eight, be good to your neighbors at this time. Be good to your neighbors. You know, make some Christmas cookies and take them over to them. And you know, it'd be a wonderful thing if you could hand them a gospel tract at that time. Some of you say, well, I've already witnessed to my neighbors, and they're not just interested. Why don't you just go be good to them at Christmas time? Just be good to them at Christmas time. You might need to lighten things up a little bit. You know, you've preached to them and you've worked at getting them to come. Some of you have never. Some of you have never done anything. It might be time for you to go and get them some Christmas cookies and give them a gospel tract and talk to them a little bit about Jesus. Make some bread. That is, if you can cook. If you can't make good cookies, then go buy some Archway cookies and take them out of the package and make it look like you made the cookies. Put them on your own, your own plate, and then say to them, I need that plate back for those cookies. That'll make them think that you made the cookies. Now, if you can't make good cookies, don't poison your neighbors. That's not a good thing to do at Christmas time. Make them some homemade bread and take it over to them. Give them some novel little gift. Maybe you've got a few extra dollars. And last year, we went out and we found some chocolate-covered cherries. And we were able to buy a couple hundred boxes of them. And we went, and my church staff, we visited all the houses that we would consider the neighbors of the church here. We went and we knocked on every door. We handed them a nice box of chocolate-covered cherries. And we just told them, said, the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church wants to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas. On that box of chocolate-covered cherries, there was a Christmas card that we made in house here, told about our church service times and told about our cantata, and we just invited them to the church. But we whether they were coming to church or not, we wanted to be good to them. You know, for people that are out in the world to live right next door to a church, especially one that is thriving like this one, it gets a little uncomfortable sometimes. It's hard for them to understand. I mean, we've got activities going on and we're here at night and we make all sorts of noise. We just wanted to be good to them. I think that's what Christians are supposed to do, if I remember correctly. Hey, but what would happen if you did some nice things for your neighbors at Christmas? You know, there is a concept in the Bible about loving your neighbors and being good to your neighbors, and Christmas time is a wonderful time for that. So what have I said so far? I said if you want to have the right kind of a Christmas, I would recommend that you not overspend and that you not make yourself more of a financial mess than what some of you are already in. I said, secondly, be more faithful to church at this time, not less faithful. I said, then let's promote Jesus and let's not let Santa take his place. I said, number four, help us out here with our baseball Christmas, and you get out there and look at that tree afterwards. I said, number five, let's attend the activities that are provided here at the church. And number six, put good music in your home at this Christmas time. Number seven, as you have family come in and visit, invite them to church. And even if they're not coming in from out of town, but maybe they live in this area, this is a great time of the year to invite them to come and be a part of the church. Number eight, I said be good to your neighbors. Number nine, politely disagree with Xmas. I disagree with them marking Christ out of Christmas. I disagree with it. If I were you, I would not use any decoration that says Xmas. You see, we were missing something here. The devil's behind that. The devil does not want Jesus' name attached to this holiday. When I heard someone say this, they said, well, we just do that, and we're doing it because it's an abbreviation. It's shorter to make it Xmas. Then why don't we mark out, why don't we call Washington's birthday X's birthday? Shorter. Why don't we call Columbus Day X Day? Shorter. Has nothing to do with shorter. It has something to do with people wanting to take Jesus Christ out of his own holiday. And so I disagree with it. And I do not want you to go to someone. You know, your neighbors have Xmas posted out front as a part of their manger scene. Don't burn it down. Don't burn it down. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to go to Walmart with a can of black spray paint and paint all over their signs. But I do think this. I think we ought to stand for the fact that Jesus Christ deserves better treatment than that. And I mean, they're boldly just going to the name of Christ and putting a great big X. And I think the way you really ought to look at it is, picture had Christ's name been there and somebody come along with a magic marker and crossed it out, because that is exactly what they have done. They have taken his name out of his holiday, if you will, and they're marking it out. And I say, I feel like one of the best ways for us to celebrate Christmas is that we ought to, at least with our own things and in our own area of influence, that we ought to oppose marking Christ out of Christmas. Number 10, if you are married, I think this is a wonderful time of the year to set up a tradition of having a romantic Christmas date. Mrs. Owens and I have done this for many, many years. I try every Christmas time to take her out, and we go someplace, and we have a nice Christmas day. It's a traditional thing, and for some of you, it'd be the only date you get all year, so you might as well try this one. Some women right now are saying, come on, Brother Owens, say it, get him. But this is a great time for a date. And again, it's a part of our Christmas to each other. And Christmas has a certain romance to it. And I sure do enjoy it. Maybe you can take your wife out and take her to a nice restaurant somewhere. It won't hurt you, and it won't kill you. And I'm not talking to you. Say, I'll take her someplace where they've got golden arches. I'll take them to McDonald's. And that's not what I had in mind. I'll even get her a Big Mac. Not a little Mac, a Big Mac. Well, I'll let her supersize it. Boy, you're a big spender, buddy. You're a big spender. It might be a great time to form a little tradition where you just get a little time together. You know something, if Christmas really is all about others and being good to people, there is a relationship that ought to be very close. It ought to be very tight, and that is between a husband and a wife. And I think this is a very special time of year. You say, well, Brother Owens, we really don't have money to do something like that. Okay, I'll tell you what you do. And you make you up some hot chocolate, and you get your thermos. You fill your thermos with some hot chocolate. You go out somewhere, and you start you a little fire and get you a blanket. And you just go out there and curl up by each other in that blanket and share that hot chocolate. You'll be melting snow in no time. No more comment on that. But I think this could be a wonderful, and notice I mentioned husbands and wives. I'm not talking about people that are not married. People that are not married ought to keep their hands off of each other. And but this is a wonderful time for husbands and wives. And you say, well, Brother Owens, we're getting a little old for that. You listen to me, buddy, just because there's a little snow on the roof doesn't mean there can't be fire in the furnace. And so you better just keep that thing stoked up as much as you can stoke her up, bud. Get out there and enjoy life. You're married, not married. Great time for a romantic date. Then, I think this is a great time of the year. I think it'd be very good for all of us to establish some good family traditions. And I don't know for sure what those are. Some of you already have them. I think it's a good thing. Now, I think we ought to be careful in regard to the church and traditions that are passed on by men. I think what we ought to do according to the Bible. But there are traditions that are not bad. There are traditions that are good. And I think in a family, you need to form some tradition. And I wish that you would. You know, at our house, we will open up one gift on Christmas Eve and the rest Christmas morning. That's just kind of something that we chose to do. And you say, ah, that's dumb. No, you're dumb. We're doing it right. But you choose what you want to do. There's no book in the Bible that says exactly how you have to exchange gifts and things like that. For instance, Christmas tradition at our house. My son Jeff wraps all of his gifts 5 minutes before the family has their Christmas exchange. Right, Jeff? It's a tradition for him. Hey, look, for him, it was the second coming of the Messiah when they invented gift bags. Because now he doesn't even have to wrap. He just crams. But I'll guarantee you, he don't even put them in bags until 5 minutes before. Time for the gift exchange. That's a tradition. We would all miss that at our house. And it won't be long until we will miss it at our house because he's getting married and leaving. Then me and my wife don't have to go somewhere else for romantic dates. We can be at home. It's not a part of the outline, but I can feel it. Hey, maybe there are certain foods that you will enjoy at this, at your traditions. My wife, we grew up and have a lot of German in our background. And she likes to give the kids, even though they're grown now, she always makes sure they get some German candy, some Matzipan, and some, what else, honey? Pfeffernusse. And
Hitler bites.
No. We have ham as a tradition. I'm gonna get in a lot of trouble after today. I just know it. We have deviled eggs at our house. Now we should have angel eggs, but we let the devil into our Christmas just a little. But it's a tradition at our house. We have two plates of deviled eggs, half made with mayonnaise for the idiots at our place. The other half made with Miracle Whip for the powerful, right with God people. I make donuts every Christmas morning. I get up early in the morning and I make donuts. I'm so grateful to my friend, Dr. Bob Gray. He puts a magazine out nationally called The Baptist, and he asked me to write an article about Christmas tradition. I mentioned one little touch about me getting up and making donuts and put a picture of myself in there with these donuts, and they printed it in the national magazine with my sweater and me holding my little plate of donuts, and I felt just so good about it. So thank you so very much for that, Brother Gray. At our house, we read the Christmas story, and we it's a traditional thing. Everybody look right this way, if you will. We read the Christmas story at Christmas. It's just something we do. But I say to you, if you want to celebrate a good Christmas, there's a way to do it. There's a right way to do it. For instance, number one, don't overspend. Number two, be faithful to church. Number three, promote Jesus, not just Santa. Number four, get involved in our baseball Christmas for our kids. Number five, attend the activities that we provide around here. Number six, make sure you're using the right kind of music in your home. Number seven, invite your family to the Christmas services. Number eight, be good to your neighbors at this time. Number nine, we've got to disagree with this thing of crossing Christ out of Christmas. Number 10, have a romantic date. Number 11, I think you could establish some family traditions. Number 12, help your children shop. Help them shop. This is a great time to teach your kids some things about money. The smaller children, they need to learn how to spend money. They need to learn how to find those bargains. They need to learn how to express their love. Listen, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. For God so loved the world that He gave. Sure, I'm against the commercialization of Christmas, but I'm for a time of the year when people are finally told it's not all about me, 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 but it's about others. This is a great time for your children to learn something about shopping. Dads, take your kids out and teach them and help them get mom a little something for Christmas. It doesn't have to cost a lot. You ladies, help your husband do some, help your kids do some shopping for dad. I hear a lot of things when I counsel. I hear people say a lot of things, but let me tell you something. One of the most heartbreaking things I hear said to me, I've probably heard it two or three times in my 30 years of counseling, I've heard a lady say, "My husband just never gets me anything for Christmas. It's not his way." I'll tell you, it just kills me when I hear that. Oh, I understand when two people have agreed they just can't afford to spend any money. But that's not what I'm talking about now. I'm talking about when somebody is so heartless that the person that they love the most, they can't figure out the time or the way or make a place in their heart to do at least a little something to say, "I love you and I appreciate everything that you've done for me." Help your children shop. Teach them how to shop. It's a good time of the year to do it. Number next, don't give sinful gifts. Don't give sinful gifts. I don't think the Bible teaches that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You shouldn't be giving people, a fifth of whiskey. You shouldn't be giving people, you thought it was a great gift because you gave them that wine. You shouldn't be giving gifts like that. You say, "But they drink it, but I don't." You shouldn't be condoning it. We shouldn't be giving. We shouldn't be giving someone their favorite tobacco, and we shouldn't be giving away bad clothing and bad music, and we shouldn't be giving things like that. You say, "But that's what they like." Listen, we all like some things that are bad for us, but the ones that love us wouldn't give us what's bad for us. We've got to use more sense than that. Don't give away fruitcake. Fruitcake is from Hell's Bakery. Fruitcake is for old people, and I'm never eating it. I'm never eating it. Oh, old people. I gotta tell you, I took my wife on a date this week. We went down to the Golden Corral in Winchester. We were going through, and you know, you pay before you eat. So we're going through there, and I'm not really paying much attention, and this lady's ringing us out, and I handed her my credit card. And my wife said to this lady, she said, "Oh, he gets a senior citizen discount." You know what? The lady rung it up that way. And then when I realized what's happened, my wife, she's cracking up. She thinks this is hilarious. See, my hair may look like it's senior citizen, but the rest of me's only 46, just so you all know. And I said to this lady, I said, whoa, wait a minute, ma'am. Wait a minute. I don't get the senior citizen. This man, the waitress, she was embarrassed, but my wife, she was getting a kick out of it. She thought that was just hilarious that I was going to get the senior citizen discount. My hair deserves a senior citizen discount, but the rest of me is young and vibrant. Then, oh great, later on in the week, we were doing something and we were at someone's home, and their next door neighbor came over and they were talking with us. And actually my wife was in the house, and this lady I never met before in my life came over to stick her nose in somebody else's business, I guess. You know how women are. So she came over to talk to me. Now I don't know how women are, I've just seen a few did. But this lady I never met before, she comes over, she starts talking to me, and somehow I brought my daughter Charlotta up. I said, well, my daughter Charlotta and her fiance, they'll be moving back into this area, and this, my wife steps out on the front porch, first time she's been seen in this conversation, and this lady says, "Oh, is this her, your daughter?" The devil's been after me this week. Senior citizen discount at Golden Corral, this is my daughter. Honey, it's going to be a long walk home today after church, huh? Fruitcake. You can give fruitcake to anybody you want, but not to me. Hey, if you're going to give them things, if you're going to give them things of what we call a Christian origin, make sure it's the right kind of stuff. Make sure it's got the right Bible, the King James Bible. Make sure it's not authors by weirdo religious people that don't believe the Bible. Don't be giving away bad DVDs and gift certificates to places where they're going to go and buy wrong things. Don't be giving away, and I'll tell you this, there should not be, and at this time of the year, because it has a touch of a romantic flavor to it, we ought to be very careful that people that are not married are giving favors to one another as a gift sexually at this time of the year. That's wrong. You're to stay away from one another until you're married to one another. You know, something else you could do at this time of the year, you could give Jesus something. I don't think that's unreasonable. Take a sin out of your life. Commit to be where you're supposed to be for God. Next, this is a great time of the year to witness and tell others about Jesus Christ. This is a great time of the year to realize Christmas is not all about getting. It's all about giving. I'm going to tell you all something. I can remember when I worked in the secular world. I was a supervisor. I supervised more than one tool and die shop and machine shop. Now, I can remember watching the men in the shop demand Christmas bonuses. I don't quite understand that. How do you demand that somebody give you something at Christmas? Have we just totally missed it? I'm mad because I didn't get the bonus I think I deserve. That is a Christian way. That's what Christmas is. I demand a bonus. I didn't get the bonus I want. I didn't get a big enough bonus. That didn't sound Christian to me. And it doesn't sound Christmas to me either. I didn't get something from a family member. And you know what we gave them? You're just a little bit too caught up in the commercialization of Christmas. Christmas is not all about getting. It's about giving. It's about giving. Be thoughtful at this time of the year, and this is the last thing I'll say. Be thoughtful at this time of the year of those who will have a tough Christmas. Who will have a tough Christmas? See, Christmas for some can be a bittersweet time. This is a time of the year, it's about family and peace. and comfort and so many things, but there are some who that's going to be a little tougher for them. For instance, there are some who this will be their very first Christmas with the absence of a parent or a spouse or a child. And when you go through this time of the year, for some, it has a tendency, it can get a bit depressing because you're reminded of last year, Dad was with us, and this year he's not, or Mom was with us. Last year, Grandma or Grandpa were with us, and they're not this year. You see, you be thoughtful of those who Christmas will be a touch of a struggle for them, because it's such a time of family tradition, and it's such a time of memories. So let's be thoughtful of those people. I want you to know something. Yesterday morning, I brought this up in our men's prayer meeting. I said to all the men, this is the time of the year where we need to pray special for some people. There's someone that will sit down at Christmas dinner this year, and they'll look over, and there'll be an empty spot at the table. Now, that someone's in heaven, but they're still not there to celebrate Christmas with them. They'll have a good day, but they'll have an empty spot in their heart, and they'll miss them, and that's okay. But I told the men in men's prayer meeting, I said, I want you to pray. I know men who will celebrate their first Christmas without their wife. I know ladies who will have their first Christmas without their husband. Let's make sure that as we enter this time of the year, we're thoughtful of them. Let's be good to them and pray for them. Let's remember them. There are those that, you know, with Christmas time, it's such a time of family, and indeed it is. But when family matters, when families are struggling, when marriages are struggling, there are many of you, you will go out on that romantic date. There are others that probably won't, because they're struggling for the very life of their relationship. Now, I'd advise all of you, no matter what shape the family's in, you do what I've taught you today, and it'll make your Christmas much better. But I think it'd be wise that all of us remember the rest of us, where some of these things will be a little more difficult for them. Hey, if you're here today and you're not born again, I'll give you some real good advice. It's Christmas time. It's all about a Savior that came, born of a virgin. If you're not saved, you ought to just get saved. As a result of Christmas, boy, would Jesus be pleased with that. You see, if you're not born again, He came. He was the greatest gift ever provided. And I'll tell you something about this gift. You don't have to pay for it. It's free. If you realize that you're a sinner, if you realize because you're a sinner, there is a penalty for your sin. That penalty is death in hell, separated from God for all eternity. But wait, Jesus Christ wants you to accept the way He paid for that penalty for you, because He paid for it for you with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. If you're here today and you say, I know I'm a sinner, and I realize there's a penalty for my sin, and I know that Jesus died for me, was buried for me, and resurrected for me, if you'll turn to Him and ask Him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and save you, just like that, He'll save you. And you can say it was Christmas season in 2006 at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. The preacher got up and given some advice about having a good Christmas, and the very last point in his outline was that you ought to get saved. And I did. And one day you'll look back and your testimony will be that at church you got saved as a result of a Christmas piece of advice given by an old-fashioned Baptist preacher on a Sunday morning. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I get saved. Hey, listen, if you're here today and you've never been saved and you need to, look, if you've been saved, let's say you've already been saved but you never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, won't you get baptized? You say, why? Do it for Jesus. It's His birthday we're celebrating. There's some of you out to get right with God today. It'd be best for you, but it'd be very good for Him. You've got to get right with God and say, Jesus, I'm coming back home. I'm coming back to you. Just a little Christmas advice. We started out and we read the passage of Scripture. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. God gave us that son, and God gave us His child, so that this season would be a special season. I thought it would help us to start this month with a little advice on how to have a great December